good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, middle of the week, December 20th, 2017. Oh my goodness. 5 days away from Christmas and 1 day away from the first day of winter. Tomorrow, the winter solstice, the day we have the fewest hours of daylight of the year. 18 minutes past the hour. Do want to thank our guest from hour number one. That was a lot of fun. Gayla Peavy, the original performer of I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, recorded it back in 1953 when she was 10 years old and debuted it on The Ed Sullivan Show. Thank you, Gayla, so much for coming on. Now, this hour is very important because if you are like me and don't know what you're doing this time of year, the guest this hour is going to help you out. Want to give you some quick programming notes, and we're going to come back to that momentarily. Tomorrow on this program, Emmy Award-winning actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, our good friend Pat Carroll, who's on a lot. We love her. She'll be on tomorrow, 12:15, to share holiday memories. 1:15 tomorrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, live in the studio. She was the Treasurer under President Bill Clinton. She will be sharing her holiday memories of Washington, D.C. at 1:15 tomorrow. And then Friday morning, before we take the holiday break, 11:15 Friday morning, we will have Carolyn Grimes, who portrayed Zuzu in It's a Wonderful Life. She's the little girl in the last scene in Jimmy Stewart's arms. When the bell rings, oh my goodness, Carolyn Grimes, Friday morning at 11:15. If this station doesn't get you in the holiday spirit, nothing will. And this hour is going to help save us with the holiday spirit. She has been a frequent guest on this program. We are always happy when she stops by. And like me, right now, I don't have all my presents bought or gotten or made. I only have 5 days left. I have people. I have a party on Christmas Eve at my house. What in the world am I, what in the name of Christmas am I going to do? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn to my pal, a lady who's all over the place, the queen of helpful hints, Heloise. Heloise, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Well, Meli Kalikimaka.
Beautiful.
Which is Hawaiian.
Yes.
For Merry Christmas, because I lived in Hawaii as a child.
Really?
Yes. My father was Air Force pilot, and from 1958, I'm telling my age, but at this point, it's all over the internet. I cannot shave off a couple of years, even if I tried. 58 through 62. And when we had talked and kind of think about Christmas memories, my first memory, because I was 7 or 8 at the time, is in Hawaii, and I went, well, this isn't Christmas. There's no snow. It's not cold. And at that time, to have a real live Christmas tree was very expensive. So most people had artificial trees, or you decorated a palm tree.
Really?
Yes. Well, think about it.
Now, what can you hang on a palm tree?
Well, it depends on the height, of course, and or depending on the plant. Where we lived, there were smaller, newer palm trees or plumeria trees. So you would have an artificial tree, because that's pretty much all you could have. And then sometimes you may do some lights, may do a couple of the Christmas balls, you know. And it was a different sort of Christmas, but what I remember most distinctly is my mother, and we had I think there was one air conditioner in the main part of the house, in the bedrooms, no, because it's Hawaii, it's generally, you don't normally. She would turn the air conditioner on, making it really cold, and she would put on Christmas carols and Mahalia Jackson, so that when we woke up Christmas Day, for us it felt like Christmas.
Hmm. So even in a warm climate.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. And it's setting, to me, it's kind of setting the tone, and it can be what I call the three S's, sight, sound, or scent. So when you smell the scent of cinnamon or pumpkin bread Or maybe your grandmother always did the most fabulous dressing or stuffing. And we know now that the scent, rather, is the most powerful sense we have, far more than vision, hearing, even touch. That it goes right to your brain center. How you walk in, you've had a wonderful meal, big lunch, dinner, you're taking a nice stroll, and you walk by the bakery and you smell cinnamon rolls or chocolate chip cookies, and you're not even hungry, and what do you think?
Yep, you're hungry, you want to eat.
Yeah. So kind of like setting the tone that way is the sound of music, I hate to say it that way, but the holiday season.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because 2 years ago, here in Ohio, when we used to have cold weather in December, on Christmas Eve, it was 70 degrees, 2 years ago. And that was the most bizarre Christmas.
Welcome to my world.
Oh.
And that's why when I edit my newspaper column, which goes every state in the country and some foreign countries, you can't assume that on Christmas it's going to be cold or freezing, that there's going to be snow. People in South Texas, depending on our weather, we may be barbecuing outside. People in Fargo, North Dakota, you know, or the upper UP of Wisconsin or way in Ohio, it may be 5 below.
This year, just for the record, for people in our area, Christmas Eve is looking like 32 degrees, Christmas Day 22, and possibly an inch of snow.
I envy you. I do. Could you send some snow to me?
You know, it would be the first Christmas we have had snow in quite a while.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been strange.
Hmm.
First Christmas it's even been cold in maybe the last 3 years.
And that's being my father, again, being military, we moved every 3 or 4 years. And when we moved from Arlington, Virginia, or D.C., in 66 down to Texas, I'd go, which I'm a Texan, our family all is, but I'd never lived here, I think as a baby, I don't remember that. And I'd go into my mother and my father and say, this is not Christmas, it's 70 degrees outside. Wait, honey, it's Texas. I'm like, this is not Christmas. So she would turn the AC down, put on the Christmas carols, and light some cinnamon candles, and I'd come home from school. I'm like, okay, this is Christmas.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I was thinking about the Christmases you had in Hawaii, and there's the Christmas song from Hawaii.
Yes.
Yep. And then there's one from Florida, too. They have one, I can't think of the name of it, but they have a Christmas song, too. But those songs never really materialized in a gigantic way like some of our Christmas songs. And I think it's because of the warm climate.
Part of it is Bing Crosby, I believe, was one of the first commercial artists, singers, to do Mele Kalikimaka and bring it stateside. And if you go on the internet now, and I have the original, some of the original ones, there are many renditions of Mele Kalikimaka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. And that's when you're in Hawaii and it's 70 or 80, it's balmy. You can hear the palm trees sway. So, but really for the holidays, and I asked my my assistants, I said, you know, what do you kind of like remember the most? And one said, well, I believed in Santa till I was 8 or 9. And the other one said, oh, no, my older sister told me the truth. And so what I always try to say is, you're making memories. And regardless of if you don't have much, you can make do with what you have. And you're making memories. And if you think of it that way, you know, family, friends, maybe you get together with your neighbors. That's really what it's about. And that's what you remember in the long run.
Here is a revelation I have had for the first time this Christmas. Because in television, what most people don't know is those great holiday specials that people would watch, like Bob Hope.
Are done in June and July.
You got it. You know where I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, done in June and July. But here, interestingly, this year, we had a guest here locally at Labor Day. And we wanted to do some things with him for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So we taped them, didn't put them out over the air. We did the skits and the things Labor Day. And it felt, you know, just like Labor Day.
Right.
It felt like, why are we doing this? Why do we have a Christmas hat out? And then we've played them over the last month. And it feels Christmas. And I was there. I know it happened Labor Day, but now it feels like Christmas.
Scott, are you sure you don't have a webcam in my office?
Really?
I was just telling my office staff, I said, when I, you know, I wrote for Good Housekeeping Magazine for 33 years. And back in the late 80s, early 90s, we really wrote 6 months ahead of time. Now, with electronics and email, the time has shortened. So my husband came home from work August, I think it was August, could have been September, which is very hot here. And I had turned the air conditioning down, meaning make it as cold as possible. I had Christmas carols on, and I had the Christmas candles, the cinnamon thing. My husband walks in, "Dear, what are you doing?" I said, "David, I have to write Christmas. My deadline is in 2 weeks. I have to write Christmas, so I'm getting in the mood." So I totally understand what you're saying.
The thing that has struck me about it is, I was trying on Labor Day to get in the mood, and honestly, I thought, this is coming off bad, because I don't feel Christmassy at all. But now, 4 months has passed, and you know what? It does feel Christmassy.
Yeah, and you have to understand, it's, again, going back to what I say about entertaining or welcoming people to your home or setting the tone. Sight, sense, and sound. So if someone, when you were doing that, a couple hours before recording or taping, had made it really cold, put on Christmas carols, maybe had eggnog, you know, cinnamon sticks or something, you might have felt more in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, that would have helped. I'm going to have to do that if we ever do that again. Because here's another thing that has escaped me. Because we cling to tradition at Christmas very strongly in this country. But one of the things that used to be a gigantic Christmas tradition mm-hmm. has went by the wayside. And I did not even realize it till somebody brought it up to me the other day. And when you say smell, I think about it.
Yeah.
That's the oranges.
Yes.
What happened to that?
You know what? Are you talking about the oranges with the cloves, studded with cloves, or just oranges in general?
That people used, at Christmas time, people used to put oranges in stockings.
Yeah.
They used to burn the orange peels, the smell. They used to put them on their table,
right?
They sold them in the stores like it was summer.
Remember, part of what I do is heavy research is if you're talking about the area where you live in, at a while ago, to have a citrus fruit in a grocery store in December was very unusual. So oranges were very special. Does that make sense?
I do, but I don't know why.
Why did it go away?
Why did it go away?
Probably because now, in most grocery stores, oranges are available year-round.
That could be. That could be. And that's a shame because it was a unique thing. Mm-hmm. And when I smell oranges, if I would smell oranges right now, that would make me think Christmas.
Really?
It would, because I remember oranges. I got oranges in the stocking, and I remember the orange scents that people used.
See, when I said to you about sight, sense, sound?
Yeah.
That orange. So for you, when somebody peels an orange, or that scent, it goes to your brain in nanoseconds, and it takes you back to the holidays, to Christmas time, because that's where you first encountered it.
Absolutely. And flowers this time of year. Now, there's a little bit of a war going on the flower front this year, because in the office here, is it poinsettia or poinsettia?
I am not going to weigh in on that one. However, I will tell you a Heloise hint.
Okay.
Whether it's poinsettia or poinsettia, okay, they are not poisonous to animals or dogs.
Oh, that's a long-term myth.
It is a long-term myth. And I did, again, heavy research. It took me several weeks, and finally got to a veterinary specialist, and she sent me the research that originally came from a one paper somewhere, and it was she extrapolated that an average-sized dog of 20 or 30 pounds would have to ingest, it was an inordinate amount, to even cause an upset stomach. So, however, it's still probably a good idea to keep them away, or if you've got cats that are curious, because if you have the points, I call it poinsettia, if you know when you break the brack off, it's got that milky, the liquid that comes out. It's kind of milky and a little sticky, which would be appealing to animals. But they are not poisonous to dogs, unless you've got a 2-pound chihuahua that eats 14 pounds of poinsettias.
Mm, so it would take a lot.
It would take a lot.
It would take a lot. Well, that's good to know. Now, what do you do after New Year's is over with the, I say poinsettia too, what do you do with the poinsettia?
Well, I have had great luck. There's, you know, they can end up being, they're long-lived, and they can end up being a beautiful, just a green plant, where if you keep them light, the red part, the bracts, I call them the bracts, and I'll cut it back, water it, and the green leaves come out. Couple times, the real science on it is your, and what the professional growers do, is you're supposed to put, it's something like three weeks of dark in a closet, then you bring them out, then you put them back in. It's a lot of work. So don't just, if you want to do that, the information is out there. But I have had great luck at just keeping them as a green plant. Cut off the dead point, the red part, cut them back, keep them watered, fed, put one in the window, one sort of in a south-facing window where we have here. They both did very well.
I'm always at a loss at what to do with them, because I certainly am no horticulturalist. And
Scott, really?
No, I don't know what. I have no idea. My thumbs turn a lot of colors, but they're never green. Not even at Christmas.
Well, the thing to remember is these plants, poinsettia/poinsettia, are all commercially groomed, planted, processed, to be red and bright during this time of year. And they're usually very inexpensive. You don't see them in, I don't know, June, July, do you? No.
No.
And they're relatively inexpensive. And they do bring out that. So buy some. And if you want to try Heloise Hint, do a Heloise, put your Heloise hat on and test it the way I did. They'll stay red through sometimes mid-January, sometimes to the end. If you've got them in the right place, be sure to water them, feed them. Cut it back. That means it's going to kill you. Down to about 3 to 4 inches from the soil. Put it in a sunny window, someplace it gets light. It will come out with new green growth. So you have a nice green plant.
Now I want to move on to the Christmas tree. Now, I have an artificial tree, but if you have a real tree, what's the best way to keep this thing going through New Year's Day if you want to leave it up?
Or longer. The most important thing is when you buy the tree or you go out to a tree farm, that when you bring it home, you want to, and this is from professionals, you want to cut off at least a half inch so that there is fresh wood showing. Put it in a bucket of water. It needs to drink water. Until you are ready to decorate it, you can spritz it with spritzer with water. You want to keep the needles moist. Working with some of the agricultural people, that all of the, and I'm angst to say this, but my mother's original hints, my mother was the original Heloise, and many that I printed 30 years ago about adding aspirin to the water, adding sugar to the water, using corn syrup to the water, really, according to the experts, does not prolong the life of the tree. The most important thing, too, secondly, is be sure that the water level is enough. Sometimes those will suck up a lot of water. So check it every day. Do not put it in a window where it's sunny. Do not put it in a location where there may be a heat vent. So you want to keep it moist and cool and dry as possible.
If you're like me, and here we are 5 days away, 4 days
oh
really.
Oh my gosh, it can't only be five.
I know.
and you know I'm teasing you.
Well, you know what? I have been looking for a certain gift, and I want to do it both ways here, for a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Where can I go? What's safe here? What can I buy that's going to please either one?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. I always try to buy what I call universal, non-specific gifts that I always have handy. And those can be coffee mugs with some exotic coffee, maybe a teapot, maybe someone likes tea. Candy, obviously, people always know. Notepads. So regardless of who the person is, that it's something, now hopefully it's something they will like and they will use, but it's very difficult unless you know someone extremely well to try and pick a personalized specific gift. So you're always safe with things that are, and also things that we use. I mean, most everybody has a cup of coffee or a cup of tea in the morning.
What?
And exotic, I'll tell you one of the gifts I remember, the reason I say this is a friend of mine, and I used to do, remember when I did books, I was on book tour so much, and I did one, and I came home like 3 days before, it was, anyway, and she had a gift basket for me, and it was some really cute coffee mugs, kind of funny, a couple of teacups and this exotic coffee, Kenyan something or other, and then some teas that I had never had. I still remember that gift.
You know, it's interesting. When I go to the store, because all the stores now have these, packets put together of bath soap and salt and all that. You know, I'm always leery of that because I don't know, usually, what I don't know what they put on in the morning. I don't live with them.
Well, yeah. And if you know the person, or you're familiar, generally gifts of fragrance, and you hit on it, Scott, gifts of fragrance can be, can cut both ways. Now, if you know the, I'll tell you a funny story, not funny, but my dear father, who's now deceased, Mike Cruz, C-R-U-S-E, I've been wearing, and I normally, you've known me for a long time, I don't normally mention brand names or anything, but I've been wearing the same perfume, my signature perfume, Estee Lauder Private Collection, from the first day it came out. And my sweet father, God bless him, he'd go to the department store, and it was an Estee fragrance, but it was white linen. I never had the heart to tell him that was not the cologne that I wore.
Oh.
And so year after year, and so giving, because he thought it was the one that I wore, so I never had the heart to tell him. Thank you, Daddy. So giving a scent with the full spectrum can be a little iffy if you don't know. But maybe some of the smaller, possibly just a hand lotion, possibly just a bubble bath, is enough that the recipient may say, well, it's not normally what I wear, but let me give it a try.
You know something, this is a true story. I won't mention who it was, but a few years ago, I thought, I stumbled upon one of these great gifts. I was at a store, and it was one of those as-seen-on-TV gifts. And what it was a thing you set your coffee pot on, and most people have their coffee pots against the wall, so you pull the drawer out, and the coffee pot comes out. It slides out from the wall. And I thought, oh, that's tremendous.
What?
Yeah, it was a slider. It was just like a little thing you set on your counter.
Oh, it, I see.
Yeah, so the
so
cup...
you pull it towards you.
Pull
so
it towards
you. Add yeah. the water, do the...
Yeah, and you don't have to touch the coffee pot. And I thought, boy, this is a great gift. So I bought this for like two or three people. And then this past summer, I saw it unopened in a yard sale.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I thought, oh, that was not, it didn't bother me, but I thought, oh, that wasn't a good gift. So, you know, even though I thought it was great, mm-hmm. didn't turn out that way.
Now, let me segue into re-gifting about you receive a gift, it's nice, but it's not your color or the size or something, and it's okay to re-gift, but there are some provisos. You must be sure that the person you're giving the gift to does not know the person who originally gave you the gift. And this is the truth, and if an acquaintance of mine worked at a very high-end, well, it was Macy's. No, Tiffany's. No, Macy's. And when the young wedding couple had received, it was like 8 or 10 champagne buckets and ice buckets, sterling silver, the whole thing. Well, they had all of them, so they just kind of like, well, we'll use these, we'll give these away. They re-gifted one a year later without opening it and looking at the gift. It had been engraved.
Oh.
Oh.
Now see?
Yeah. With the couple's initials.
Now that'll teach you a lesson.
That'll teach you a lesson, and don't. I had it happen to us. Don't buy a gift and then put it in the box of another store. Do you follow me?
Yeah, I'm with you. That could be bad.
Yeah. And so there's nothing wrong with re-gifting as long as you understand. And also, does that person... And there are times you get a gift that, I'm not going to use... My husband fishes, but I don't. I'm not going to use 15 fishing lures, but I'm thinking, so-and-so will. So if you re-gift with the right heart, if you will, and if you provazo, it's okay.
Now, here is a big one for me. It is December 20th. The mail has already run today, and I do not... people have sent me Christmas cards, and I have not sent them yet. I haven't even bought the stamp. I have the cards, but I haven't bought the stamps. So what do I do here?
This is... I'll tell you what I do. I don't do Christmas cards, because everyone does, and I'm always behind. I do New Year's cards.
That's interesting.
Because think of it in two or three ways. If you get a lot of Christmas cards, look, here's some Bob and Sam, and here's some Sally and Joe, and here's blah, 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 Merry Christmas. Yeah. You're like, okay. But if you get a New Year's card, look, we got a New Year's card from so-and-so. Or go ahead and send them. And if they get there after the 25th, it's okay. The thought really, truly was there.
What about these email Christmas cards?
There's a Peggy Post, the great-granddaughter-in-law of Emily Post, is a friend of mine. She used to write for Good Housekeeping also. And we discussed this at length. And generally... It's if you know the recipient, and here's the way I define it, because I do a lot of speaking to business groups, civic groups, and this comes up. And my suggestion is, now, if you are used to, you communicate with that person in the way they are used to being communicated with. So if you get on the phone and you talk to them and you resolve the issue, they want to get on the phone. If you email back and forth, that's fine. So consider the recipient. If they're comfortable with a e-Christmas card, a Hanukkah card, New Year's card, then that's perfectly okay. My only personal Heloise the Grinch on this one is, how are you going to save that in 10 years from now, 20 years from now, look at it? You're going to print it out, and what?
Yeah.
I still have greeting cards for holidays, New Year's, from 10 years back. I go through about every other year, tear things down, but I open it up. I see real signatures and handwriting. So it depends on the recipient.
And that is important. Hand delivering, because I will see some of these people, I hope I can get that done. When we go to the party itself, because I always have people over on Christmas Eve, and I have found
do you? How nice.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And what I've noticed is it's not a big eating holiday, so it's something, light. But when the people come over, what would be a good, because people tend to want desserts this time of year, a good holiday dessert or a good holiday beverage that just screams Christmas?
There's so many.
This is true.
There's so many, but... my mother, the original Heloise, taught me very well about entertaining. And you hope to provide one or two options, because you never know. unless you know your guest exceedingly, you know, very well. Some people may not drink alcohol. Some people may be diabetic. So always have an alternative. You know, a punch bowl that is fruit juice and a little sparkling water. Or even if you're doing all desserts, have something that's a little bit lighter. Maybe, say, fresh fruit compote. I used to do one. We used to entertain a lot. And I would always think that way. And I would always have fresh fruit. And one of my guests came in and she said, "Oh, thank you so much." She said, "I just cannot eat all those desserts." And she looked at me and she said, "How do you keep the apples from turning brown?" Well, I put on my Heloise hat, and when I would cut the apples up, in bite size, by the way, because if somebody's trying to eat them with a fork or a spoon, you don't need a big chunk of apple, is I would mix a little orange juice, which is citric acid, a little water, and toss the apples in that, and that helps prevent the apples from browning. And then do the grapes. If they're large grapes, you cut them in half. You always try to remember, again, the recipient, the guest, who is trying to eat that. So always think in terms of an alternative, maybe a little bit lighter fare. But then the heavy desserts, and coming from Texas, pecan pie.
Mm.
Christmas is not Christmas without pecan pie.
Now, if you are having a party, and there are going to be no children there, and you want to put something in the eggnog to liven it up, what's the best way to do the eggnog?
Well, my husband, we've been married, oh my gosh, 38, 39 years. No, I'm teasing. For me, personally, someone who's been watching her weight since she was like 22 out of college, I would do a real eggnog, and then I would do, and I it may be up on my website, it may be one of the pamphlet recipes, I'm not sure, a lighter version. So instead of cream or half and half, I would do milk, 2%. Back off on the sugar, add a little artificial, heavy on the spices part, because that's the kind of the taste. And you should always have, again, a non-alcoholic version available.
But if you are having an alcoholic version, what do you put in there?
You know what? I really don't know. I'm sorry. I don't do that. I'm sorry.
No,
but let me back up and mention one thing. Because it recently came in on one of the hints, is that a lot of people will go around the neighborhood and put a greeting card and something or other in somebody's mailbox or maybe the four neighbors or something. Please remember, technically and legally, you are not supposed to do that.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
If it's a greeting card that has gone through the postal system, that's one thing. But legally, now, I don't think they're going to come arrest you, but just be aware.
Now, there are some important hints to hit here in our last 8 minutes. A lot of people get sad this time of year because mother, father, people are gone. Children, unfortunately. What's the best way to work through that or include people who are not around anymore in your celebration?
Have you done your homework on this, or is that just one of your normal questions?
No, that's normal. I don't even have that written down. That's just right out of the head.
I know we're on the air, but Scott, I don't know whether you know. My mother died on December 28th.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
What I would say, as me personally, and as Heloise, the individual, you have to read their temperature. There are some years that I don't even think about it. It's not in my radar. And then there are other things. If I'm working on copy for the newspaper column and a recipe comes up that was my mother's original, and suddenly I look at the date and I'm like, oh. And it can be very sad. And however, the truth is, I'll tell my husband, David, I'm really not feeling Christmassy. And he says, okay. And then others, let's celebrate their life. And that's what I have to bring myself around to. Let's celebrate their life. You know, in the Oriental Asian community, it's let's celebrate their life. We mourn their death, but let's celebrate their life. And then what I personally do is I think of all the funny, silly things. I'm going to wrap this up with, and when I was talking to my staff about unusual Christmas things, and I started laughing, and they're like, what? And I said, okay, my parents were still married, my father, the retired Air Force pilot, colonel. We were visiting relatives in Fort Worth. Christmas presents all under the tree. You know, you hand them out, you know, from Santa. And there was not one for my father, Mike, that from my mother. And stone face. And my mother says, oh, just a minute. It's in the... She comes around the corner, all right, dragging a baby blanket. A baby blanket. And my father's trying to keep a straight face. And following the little baby blanket was Juarez, the miniature Chihuahua.
Oh.
And my mother said, Mike, Merry Christmas. And my father's face was like, this is not really a gift. And it turns out, he did take care of Juarez. And so, I try to think of the happy times.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to do. If you're going to somebody's house, what should you bring?
Again, if you know, always some sort of hostess gift. Could be depending, and you know how they entertain. So do you bring a bottle of wine? Maybe they don't drink. Maybe they do. Maybe you bring sparkling cider. Maybe you bring a box of candy. Maybe you bring something homemade. But if you bring something homemade, try to bring it in a receptacle that they do not have to return. Or generic gifts kind of thing. And the question is, and it has come into my column several times, and I've referred to Peggy Post, is many hosts and hostesses have the entire event planned. Appetizers. This goes here. This goes here. We're having dinner or we're doing the buffet. And if you suddenly bring something that doesn't fit, it may put them off. So the polite thing to say is, oh, this is for you and your family. And then the host or hostess can say, oh, let me open it up and share it now. Let me share now. Or, oh, thank you, we'll save it till later.
And this is a very important one, because this year when I opened up my boxes to get the tree out, some of the lights didn't work. What's the best way to store those decorations so they work again?
God.
Oh, it was awful. Thanksgiving night, I was out looking for lights.
Hey, lifelong. I've always said, if you ever really want to torture someone, put them in a room with one electrical outlet and 14 strings of tangled up Christmas lights.
Oh, it's bad.
It's really bad.
Oh.
And on a safety note, if those lights are past 5-6 years, and they're not expensive this time of year, or you wait till after the holidays and you can buy them on sale, please replace them. It's not worth taking a chance that one of the bulbs is burned out, you put the wrong bulb in, you know, you string too many together. This is not an area where you want to cut corners and save a few pennies.
You're exactly right. And finally, what is something we haven't covered? What's a good holiday hint?
You got me on this
one. Oh, maybe we've nailed them all.
Well, I think from the heart. I think the bottom line is from the heart. Remember those who are not with us, but in a joyous, happy, funny mode. Don't overstress. And take some time for yourself.
Absolutely. Heloise, I hope you... It's always a pleasure to have you on. The time goes by so quickly. I hope you have the greatest holiday. I hope you have the greatest new year. And I, most of all, hope we'll be able to do this again real soon.
We absolutely must, because I enjoy being on with you. You're extremely knowledgeable, and you bring light and laughter.
Well, thank you, Heloise. I appreciate that.
And again, Meli Kalikimaka and Feliz Navidad.
Perfect. Merry Christmas, Heloise.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And that's all the time we have today. Don't forget, lots of programming tomorrow. But for this day, this is Scott Spears. Hope that solved your problems. Heading for the dugout.
Belly that shook when you laughed, like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolt elf.